Hi there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show. The phone number, if you would like to be a part of this here program, is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. So my buddy Greg asked me a question during commercial break. Occasionally, I do check text messages during commercial break. Charlie prefers that I not, but I did. My buddy Greg texted me. He says, so what do you actually think is going to happen with the reconciliation, the debt ceiling, continuing resolution? What do you think is going to happen? Let me break this down for you, the easiest ones, easiest to hardest to answer. Easy answer is continuing resolution passes. It's clean. Both sides do it. It doesn't increase government spending. It just perpetuates it. There will be no government shutdown. Then the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling will get increased. It has to get increased. Congressional Republicans and Democrats agree. The question is how. It's going to get increased. Now, will it drag out past October 18th? There's a probability that it will, unless the Democrats put it in reconciliation. And that gets to the hard part. How do I think this plays out overall? Here's my personal thinking. This is me. I could be wrong. I am no prophet. I think that the Democrats have to scale back reconciliation for it to pass. I think they have to scale it back. Now, how do they scale it back? Well, what I think happens is nothing happens this week. And I think they come to terms with a scaled back plan that includes the debt limit increase. It alienates progressives and probably sparks a Democrat civil war in the process, in a brutal primary season for the Democrats nationwide. But it will eventually get done. It will be a smaller reconciliation package without the grab bag of stuff Democrats want. Now, I suspect one of the things that gets gutted is the Green New Deal. Why do I suspect the Green New Deal is going to be on the cutting floor? After all, the Democrats all want it. Well, there's a little angle here that nobody likes to talk about. Why do the progressives want to put the Green New Deal inside reconciliation? You're thinking, well, it's because they want it to pass and the Republicans will filibuster everything else. Well, that's true in part, but that's not the big reason. In the United States Senate, who oversees reconciliation? Remember, the Senate is all about power. Every senator has the power to control the Senate. It is, people don't realize this, it's not in the rules of the Senate that everything has to go through the majority leader or the minority leader. No, that's tradition. Any senator can rule the roost. The only thing in the rule is that if two senators stand at the exact same time and one of them is the majority leader and one of them is the minority leader, the majority leader goes first and the minority leader goes second. So if Senator A and the minority leader stand up at the same time and ask for the attention of the president of the Senate, the minority leader has to be recognized. If the majority leader and Senator A stand up together at the same time, the majority leader has to be recognized. If the minority and the majority leader stand up at the same time, majority leader is recognized and then the minority leader. That's the only rule. If the majority and the minority leader are not present on the floor of the Senate, Senator A, Senator B, Senator C, even if Senator C is the number two for the majority of the minority, Senator A gets called on if the chair thinks he rose first. The Senate, they're all about equality. It's 100 of them. And partisanship really doesn't matter except in proportion to committees. The Senate is more egalitarian than the House. There are just so many people in the House, leadership rules the roost. So if the Green New Deal is in reconciliation, it goes through Bernie Sanders' committee. So progressives want reconciliation to pass because their Green New Deal gets passed the way they want it, thanks to Bernie Sanders. Why do I think it's going to get thrown out? to get reconciliation passed? Well, one, it's the thing that screws over the farmers the most, the ag industry, the fossil fuel industry, the coal miners and the like. But, and that gets me to it, if the Senate is all about power and who gets to shape stuff, if the Green New Deal is stripped from reconciliation in order to get it to pass, who oversees the Green New Deal then? Not Bernie Sanders. Environmental issues in the United States Senate go to one man, Joe Manchin of West Virginia. That's why I think Manchin is holding this up. See, I don't really believe Manchin cares about the costs as much. He certainly cares about the costs. He is worried about inflation. But Manchin cares about Manchin. Manchin does what's good for Joe Manchin. You ask anybody in the Senate, Republican or Democrat, and their answer is that Joe Manchin is in this for Joe Manchin. And if it makes Joe Manchin look good, he gets reelected. And what makes Joe Manchin look good? Well, screwing the progressives because he's the senator from West Virginia, but two, in a coal mining natural gas state where his son runs one of the largest natural gas companies in America that Joe Manchin started, being able to write the regulations that oversee coal and natural gas as part of the Green New Deal matter more to Joe Manchin than anything. It's not a conflict of interest. Joe Manchin doesn't run the company anymore. His son does. Certainly he gets money from it, but it's not really a conflict of interest. Joe Manchin wants to help Joe Manchin. And Joe Manchin wants to help Joe Manchin, not by enriching Joe Manchin. That's what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez thinks. AOC is accusing Joe Manchin of being in the pocket of the energy industry. Yeah, he certainly gets money from them, but he's not there to write regulations to enrich Joe Manchin. That's progressive pipe dream. No, no, no. Joe Manchin benefits by protecting the coal miners and natural gas producers of West Virginia, which gets him reelected. And it gives Bernie Sanders the middle finger. As long as climate change and the Green New Deal is part of reconciliation, it's part of the budget, it goes to Bernie Sanders. The moment it's stripped out of reconciliation, not only does it lower the whole package cost and price tag, but then it has to go to Joe Manchin. And that helps Joe Manchin. That's why I think reconciliation ultimately passes, but it's scaled back. One of the core components that's taken out will be all the green stuff, because that's where most of the costs are anyway. And then Joe Manchin is empowered. Now, one of the other hangups is Kyrsten Sinema. Kyrsten Sinema doesn't like the corporate tax increases. She thinks that hurts the economy. You get rid of the Green New Deal components, you get rid of a lot of the taxes that would be applied to corporations to cover the costs of that sort of stuff. You could get reconciliation passed. So I think a scaled back version of reconciliation with the debt ceiling increase passes. I think the bipartisan infrastructure deal passes. I just think it takes them longer. They're not going to get Republican help on the debt ceiling, so they have to put it in reconciliation. And if they have to put in reconciliation to pass it, that means reconciliation must pass by October 18th. Therefore, reconciliation is going to pass so that they can raise the debt ceiling. And if reconciliation passes, they will pass the bipartisan infrastructure plan. That's how I see this all shaping out. It makes sense to me that that's the way it works, because you're all about empowering Joe Manchin if you're Joe Manchin. And for Joe Manchin to be empowered, he's got to show the Democrats he's on the team. But to help Joe Manchin, he's got to be on the team without costing himself anything. And that is, he gets to preside over the climate change stuff. The progressives are being played. And you know what? I kind of think they know they're getting played. That's why Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been coming out attacking Joe Manchin regularly. She hasn't really said anything about Kyrsten Sinema. Other Democrats in the House are attacking Kyrsten Sinema. But she's attacking Joe Manchin. Bernie Sanders is now attacking Joe Manchin. And it all has to do with the Green New Deal. And they know what's going on here. Joe Manchin wants to help Joe Manchin. And in helping Joe Manchin, he's actually helping the country, if we're honest about it, because he's going to strip a lot of this stuff out. And that's actually going to be a good thing. Now, beyond that, though, we also have to recognize that the bipartisan infrastructure deal, I don't like it. But a lot of Democrats are starting to think it's absurd that the progressives would hold it up and not get a win. There are a number of progressive voices out there in the media now saying, hey, guys, you need to pass this. This is still a win for you. Here's Representative Gottheimer of New Jersey.
The other side, Congressman Ro Khanna, for instance, Pramila Jayapal, say the issue is a small number of Democrats like you and Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin are holding up the reconciliation package. And Ro Khanna, who, by the way, last night when I was speaking to him, had very nice things to say about you personally. He said you guys are friends.
Yeah, he's a good friend.
And you guys talk all the time. But he's pissed because Kyrsten Sinema went to the White House three times yesterday and won't tell anyone what she wants. Listen.
I have no idea what she wants. I don't think her colleagues know what she wants. I don't think the president knows what she wants. I don't think House moderates knows what she wants. We've said, let's get in a room. Let's negotiate. Let's come up with a deal. And I just don't understand it. I mean, the president carried her state.
Do you know what she wants?
Well, I'll tell you this. Everyone is working around the clock, including Senator Sinema, on getting it done. And she was at the White House yesterday. Obviously, I wasn't in that meeting. And all I know is that great progress was made, and we're going to keep working today. But again, that doesn't mean that these are two separate pieces of legislation. You don't hold up and not vote for an infrastructure package that's historic, once in a century, that will help fix everything from water to broadband to fighting climate change to the Gateway Tunnel between New York and New Jersey. You don't hold that up and hold it hostage while we're working on another piece of legislation. We're going to get both done.
They got to get both done because they got to do the debt ceiling. They just can't do it to the extent progressives want, and they're struggling coming to terms with that fact. And, you know, here's the thing. The Republicans are going to be bullied. Here's John Berman from CNN, who I know. I actually get along with him fairly well. We used to be on TV with him. Definitely not only leads left, but I think has been emboldened to go further left after the Trump year, but listen to this.
All right, good morning to our viewers here in the United States and all around the world. It is Wednesday, September 29th, the week from hell on Capitol Hill. Congress has less than 2 days to head off a partial government shutdown. And after that, the potential collapse of the U.S. economy as Republicans have voted against paying U.S. debts. While that's going on, there have been feverish negotiations among Democrats over President Biden's sweeping economic agenda. Moderate Arizona Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema, she made three trips to the White House yesterday. Three. For what?
Nothing. Notice how he blames the Republicans, though. Here's the thing. Republicans don't care. I've talked to enough of them in the House and the Senate. They know they're going to get blamed. They don't care. You know why they don't care? A couple of reasons they don't care. One, it's already in their projections. They're going to get blamed by the media. Two, their viewers watch Fox News. They don't watch John Berman on CNN. And three, there are now enough channels out there, including ones like this, to bypass people like John Berman. I mean, I know what my ratings are. I get better ratings than CNN. You get them on here, you can bypass CNN and get your message out. They don't need to worry about CNN bullying them. Not enough people pay attention to someone like John Berman. So they no longer care. They know they're going to get blamed by the mainstream media anyway, so they might as well double down and get something, because if they extract pain, that's going to help them with their voters. And the Republicans right now, they've got to shore up their base and lock down their base, because they're kind of worried about Donald Trump coming in and stirring the pot next year. They're locking down their base, showing they're actually fighting the good fight, and they're going to let the Democrats fight amongst each other and cause a Democratic civil war. It's just the way it's going to be. If you are a regular listener of this here program, you know my quest for the perfect mattress. I finally found one after multiple iterations. And then, of course, you got to get the perfect sheets to go with the mattress. I mean, you need quality sheets. Well, that's why Bull & Branch is right for you. You know, there's a great, great, great company out there. They're highly entrepreneurial, and they make high-quality sheets, the highest quality. It makes the world a better place when you're sleeping under high quality sheets on a great mattress, and you need Bull & Branch to go with your mattress. They are soft. They've got that weighted feel, but they're also very, very soft. They're very comfortable. You sleep cool, but you also feel like you have something on you. Like, I can't sleep in super light sheets, and the Bull & Branch, they are the perfect, purpose ballots. My wife loves them. I love them. They're super soft. They're high quality. And you know what? You'll sleep well at night with them. You'll also, you know, for some reason, the Boll & Branch, it's the sheen on them there. You don't get tangled up in the covers at night, which is also great. So I highly recommend Boll & Branch. You can try them worry-free for 30 nights if you don't believe me. You get free shipping and returns. Now, my listeners get 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L, and Branch.com. The promo code is ERIC. Sleep comfortably with Boll & Branch. You won't get tangled up under the covers. They give you a little weight. They're the perfect set of sheets to go with your mattress. So they're negotiating on Capitol Hill right now. Progressive sources are saying that the dollar amount being brokered between the White House, Mansion, and Sinema has not yet been shared. And they won't draw any red lines around stuff until Mansion and Sinema give clarity on their cuts that they want. But here's the thing. Progressives say anything less than a $2.5 trillion package would be very tough to swallow. Mansion has said nothing more than $1.5 trillion. I think that Mansion is way more interested in getting the Green New Deal stuff out of reconciliation than he is the price tag. So you give Manchin a $2.5 trillion package where the green stuff is gone. Progressives still get a big spending binge to transform America. They just don't get to transform the environment. And they're okay with that. They don't really, I mean, they love private jets. It's all about the money they get to spend. And they want to spend significant dollars. And in so spending those dollars, Manchin then gets to draft the Green New Deal and not AOC. See, he doesn't like AOC. AOC made him the issue. If you'll recall, let's set the stage here. Donald Trump's State of the Union. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the House progressive women, they're all in white. And Joe Manchin is in front of AOC. And Donald Trump, I forget exactly what it was, says something about natural gas and energy in his State of the Union, and Joe Manchin applauds, and Alexandria Ocasio is just glaring at him, death stare at him. Y'all remember this? And she tweeted the picture. It went viral. Her tweet of that picture went viral, and then she deleted it because she knew it would cause problems. Joe Manchin wants to show the little girl from New York who's in charge. And who do you think's in charge, according to Joe Manchin? Man lives on a boat. You know, they had a bunch of hippie kayakers paddle past Joe Manchin's houseboat yesterday. Instead of a boat parade, it was a kayak parade of hipsters paddling past Joe Manchin, demanding he agree to reconciliation for the Green New Deal. Oh, you don't understand how Joe Manchin works. Joe Manchin's not going to be bullied. Joe Manchin is literally a man who in his campaign ads for the Senate pulled out a gun and shot the legislation that was Barack Obama's climate change legislation. Said he would pull a bullet through the Green New Deal, essentially. You really think he's going to let Bernie Sanders be the one to draft the climate change negotiations? The climate change? No! Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been bullying him online and attacking him off. Joe Manchin is going to show him who's boss. So they can do a $2.5 trillion plan, and it'll fundamentally transform America in ways you and I won't like, and Joe Manchin won't care as long as Joe Manchin gets to be involved in the climate change stuff. Now, Kyrsten Sinema is the wild card here. Kyrsten Sinema says she wants BIF passed ASAP, or she's not even negotiating on the reconciliation plan. So you either pass bipartisan infrastructure now or she doesn't negotiate. Now she'll negotiate. This is what progressives understand, is once bipartisan infrastructure passes, there's no real reason to bother with them and humor them on reconciliation because they'll get what they get and they won't pitch a fit, to quote my kid's preschool teacher back in the day. You get what you get and you don't pitch a fit. They'll throw in some little stuff, not the environmental stuff, and they'll call it expansive. They'll fill it up with debt ceiling increase. That'll have to go through budget offsets. They won't get amnesty. They may be able to change statute of limitations on amnesty, but that's not a big deal. That's all they're going to get. And they'll take it. The question is, how long does it take for progressives to realize they have to go down this road? Would they rather scuttle everything? And if they scuttle everything, well, that puts Republicans in the prime seat of saying, look, these people control everything. They can't do anything. Why should you leave them in charge? If you've been behind the wheel of a high-performance sports car, you realize how much better a car can be. You never want to settle for a regular car again. I feel that way with my X-Chair. From the moment I first sat down in it and I understood how many consider X-Chair to be the finest office chair in the world, can your current office chair give you a massage while you're working? My X-Chair can. And as a guy in radio who sits in this chair for 3 hours a day, plus an additional 3 hours doing show prep, I can tell you it's worth it. It can also heat up. It can cool down. That's what my X-Chair can do. I bet yours can't. It's all the Elemax massage and temperature regulation, exclusively designed and made for X-Chair. Once you feel it, once you realize the difference, you're not going to go back. You're going to want one of these. Try X-Chair yourself, risk-free for 30 days. Once you realize how much better your chair can be, you're never going to go back. I promise, I didn't, and I had a really fancy chair, and then I got my X-Chair. There's no going back. Go to xchairerik.com now with the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com, for $100 off your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. It's xchairerik.com. Howdy, how are you? It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number, should you wish to be a part of this here program, is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. This is Clarissa Ward back in Afghanistan covering what's going on now that we're gone.
But the other real crisis facing Afghans right now, Brianna, is an economic crisis. And make no mistake about it, this country is on the precipice of a massive and severe economic recession. We're not just talking about purse strings being tightened. We're talking about starvation and hunger, potentially. Essentially, what's happened is that there's a total liquidity crisis. There is no cash coming in to Afghanistan. The central bank has been effectively frozen. People can only take out about $200 US a week. There are long, long lines outside of every bank inside the city. And in this market where we are, we've been talking to people who are all complaining about the prices. 30% rise we're hearing in food prices, 40% rise in fuel prices. More importantly, perhaps, people are not getting paid. So people in the healthcare sector not getting paid, teachers not getting paid. All of this has a tremendous knock-on effect, and the end result of which potentially is not just a dire situation in which people are suffering and don't have enough money or food to take care of their families, but also a very real potential crisis coming for the Taliban, as it is already facing serious challenges politically in terms of security.
Now, you can hear that, and you can think, ah, crafty Joe Biden left the Taliban to its own devices. Everybody's going to starve. There'll be mass rebellion against the Taliban. That's not what you should hear. Now, that's the left-wing spin on this, but it's not good spin. Why? Because Taliban's okay killing everybody. And they've got all of our military hardware now to do it. The problem here is that it just means at some point the United States is going to have to intervene in some way and send them even more money. In fact, I saw in the reconciliation plan, there's something like $70 million allocated to send to the Taliban for humanitarian relief in Afghanistan. Do you really think the Taliban is going to use that money to feed the people? $70 million, really? Do you really think that? Now, here's the problem with all of this happening. I want to go back to the George Stephanopoulos interview from August.
Your top military advisors warned against withdrawing on this timeline. They wanted you to keep about 2,500 troops.
No, they didn't. It was split. That wasn't true. That wasn't true.
They didn't tell you that they wanted troops to stay?
No, not in terms of whether we were going to get out in a time frame all troops. They didn't argue against that.
So no one told your military advisors did not tell you, no, we should just keep 2,500 troops. It's been a stable situation for the last several years. We can do that. We can continue to do that.
No one said that to me that I can recall.
Not that I can recall. There's the problem for Joe Biden is that yesterday his military leadership went before the United States Senate and said, actually, they did tell him that. Now, we're not gonna say exactly what we told the president. Well, what was your opinion? Well, my opinion was that we should have kept the troops. They may not want to contradict in person the people, but they contradicted him nonetheless. And it is a problem for the Democrats right now because Joe Biden went before the American people and said that no one told me to leave any troops whatsoever there. Not that I can recall. And that's not playing well. Even the American media is having a very hard time defending Joe Biden on this sort of stuff. I played you the clip yesterday from CNN where even CNN had a very hard time. I mean, CNN couldn't defend him. It was the big deal of the day. I want to play this for you again. If you weren't here yesterday, you really do need to hear this exchange on CNN because it's kind of it's a damning situation for the Biden administration that you have even the people on CNN. Now, John King is a pretty fair, even-handed reporter. He's a friend of mine. I used to be on his show. He's one of the few people at CNN who really makes sure he accurately describes the Republican and Democrats' positions. But this exchange with Caitlin Collins is bad for Joe Biden.
Well, and two of them both testified that, yes, they had recommended keeping 2,500 troops there. Now, what I imagine the White House will point to is that caveat, that I can recall. However, I don't really think that's going to be a solid defense because the question is, why would you not be able to recall something that is so critical advice over how you're conducting this exit from Afghanistan and what the top advice that you're getting from your top military aides is? And so what General Milley said there as a follow-up to that is that we are here to give advice. We are not the decision makers. The decision maker makes the decision on this. But they did confirm that, yes, this is the advice that they gave to him. And President Biden had been pressed on this twice by George Stephanopoulos in that interview because it had been widely reported by CNN and other major outlets that that was the advice that he had received, that they thought that this could happen and they thought if those 2,500 troops were there, it would help facilitate a more stable situation. And so those are going to be big questions facing the White House over this. And I also think Milley saying that he believes this has damaged U.S. credibility on the world stage is another notable point in that entire hearing.
That was Caitlin Collins talking to John King on CNN yesterday, and she's not wrong. General Milley said yesterday that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are back in bed together planning attacks already, and this isn't gonna help him. So there's polling in Texas. I know it sounds like a real jump. Actually, before I get to the polling in Texas, let me play you this from Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, former general.
Now, terrorist organizations seek ungoverned spaces so that they can train and equip and thrive. And so there is clearly a possibility that can happen here going forward. Our goal is to maintain a laser-like focus on this so that it doesn't happen.
And Leon Panetta, who is the Secretary of Defense and head of the CIA for Barack Obama, said this on MSNBC.
I think it would be well if they cleared up the confusion that was raised by the president's comments. Look, we've got the generals presenting some pretty clear testimony here as to what their advice was. I think that there's no question that they presented that advice to the president. It's also clear that the president went ahead with his as he has the right to do as president of the United States. But I do think it needs to be clear that the advice was given and the advice was rejected.
Yeah, advice was given, advice was rejected. This is on Joe Biden, and that gets me to the polling in Texas. Now you're thinking, Texas? Who cares what the Republicans think? Oh, you don't have to care what the Republicans think. You have to care what everybody else thinks. Quinnipiac, its polling is notable because Quinnipiac's polling has tended to be very favorable for the Democrats. In fact, if you look at the last couple of election cycles, the Quinnipiac polling tends to give the Democrats greater margins of victory than actually show up. they tend to lean Democrat just in their outcomes. I don't think there are some pollsters out there, Data for Progress, PPP, several others that intend to be Democratic affiliated pollsters. Quinnipiac just happens to be that way. I don't think there's a nefariousness, a maliciousness there. They just are. And in Texas, a majority of Hispanic voters are now critical of Joe Biden. This is showing the trend line that has become a theme in the last few weeks of Hispanic voters in Texas are rapidly moving to the GOP. Something like 27% of Hispanic voters in Texas support President Biden's handling of the border. 27%. 27%. That's not good. But the more notable one is black voters. You could expect black voters to align pretty sizably with Joe Biden. Even in Texas, black voters are the core of the Democratic Party there in urban areas. In Texas, black voters tend to give Democratic Party politicians 70 to 80% support. 70 to 80% support for Democrats from black voters in Texas, which is lower than nationally. Nationally, black voters tend to give Democratic politicians 80 to 95% support. In Texas, 70, 80% support, though that's really good. Except Joe Biden's not there with them. Joe Biden is not at 65. Joe Biden is not at 60. He's at 56% support of black voters in Texas, according to Quinnipiac. Now, again, individual polling, can't really pay attention to the numbers. Don't put too much weight in the numbers, but the trends are consistent across polls that Joe Biden's support is falling everywhere. By the way, this is one reason Republicans can't afford to dig their heels in on the debt ceiling. People don't like the Democrats. They're going to blame the Democrats for this. The other notable thing about the Texas polling is that it is also consistent with the Iowa polling, where Joe Biden's popularity is at 37%. And black voters in Iowa have turned on Joe Biden. And when I say turned on, a majority of black voters in Iowa support Joe Biden, and there aren't a mass population of black voters, but there's still a portion of the voter percentages up there, and you need to understand that it's less than 80%. It had been 95%. White voters, overwhelmingly negative. Democratic voters in Iowa have seen a 15-point shift away from Joe Biden. Independent voters, he's underwater with them. He's underwater with Republican voters, obviously. But to see a 15-point shift in Democrat voters in Iowa for Joe Biden, that's not good. And Afghanistan is the number two issue. Afghanistan is the number three issue in Texas behind the border. And the number one issue in Texas is the same as the number one issue in Iowa. What is the number one issue? Ooh, you ready? Incompetence. Voters in Texas, voters in Iowa swing state, Texas not so much, but they're common themes, common trend lines, incompetence. Incompetence is one of those, incompetence. And when you've got Joe Biden rating as incompetent among voters in Iowa and in Texas, it makes you wonder. So I'm in Georgia. And in Georgia, Raphael Warnock is the incumbent Democratic senator. He won Johnny Isaacson's special term, or won the rest of Johnny Isaacson's term, so he's got to run again. He can't serve a full 6 years unless he wins this time. I haven't seen any significant polling. I imagine it's going to come. If Joe Biden is as unpopular in Georgia as he is in Iowa and Texas, if he's falling with Hispanic voters and black voters in Texas and Iowa, then, I mean, the trend lines nationwide show the same thing. It's got to have an impact on a guy like Raphael Warnock. And that actually helps somebody like Herschel Walker. Republicans have been a little bit concerned with him. They're still concerned privately with him. They just don't think they can stop him. But if the wave comes against the Democrats, that helps Herschel Walker. It hurts Stacey Abrams. It hurts the Democrats. Josh Krashauer at National Journal writes there against the grain column. He's pointing out that Joe Biden's unpopularity in key swing states is going to hurt the Democrats' ability to hold the Senate. In Pennsylvania, It looks like Connor Lamb is going to be the Democratic nominee for the Senate. There are a number of people there who are going to make a show of it, but Lamb seems to be the most predictable to be the nominee. And what's his name? The veteran running against him up there. Is it Sean Parnell, who is barely lost to Lamb in Congress, is going to go up against him in the Senate. And he connects with voters. He connects well with voters that could keep Pennsylvania from flipping to, remember, as Pat Toomey holds it right now, Republican. And then Wisconsin. Wisconsin could help the GOP. Wisconsin actually is a pretty swingy state. And then you got Arizona. You got Georgia in there. You got a number of other states in there. In New Hampshire, if Governor Sununu runs, he's already polling better than the Democrat. Joe Biden screwing up Afghanistan is a problem for the Democrats. His competence is the biggest problem. And people, when they see a president they think is incompetent, and let's be honest here, a lot of voters in 2018 thought that Donald Trump was not the most stable person. What do they want? They want someone in Congress to offset him and hold him accountable. They're going to want someone to hold Joe Biden accountable. And right now, that's helping Republicans. If the Democrats struggle this hard to get anything passed out of Congress, that's going to help Republicans as well. And the Democrats are starting to see the stars align against them and for the GOP. I want the stars to align for you when it comes to saving you money and working with great companies. That's why I want you to be a subscriber to Patriot Mobile. You know, one of the nice things about them is they can take your existing phone number and port it over. And in so doing, you can keep your same number. And when you call to get it done or you use their online system, you're using 100% U.S.-based customer service. You don't have to worry about connecting to someone in Bangalore or Mumbai or wherever. It's someone here in the United States helping you. Not only that, Patriot Mobile actually gives a portion of their profits to Christian causes, Second Amendment causes, first pro-life causes, first responder causes. They give discounts to first responders and veterans and large families who need multiple lines for multiple phones. You can save money with them. Patriot Mobile is a great company, and their coverage, you can't beat their coverage. They use the same towers that everybody else uses, so it's not like you got to worry about inferior coverage. You know, there are some cell phone companies that just own their towers, and if you don't use their towers, you can't use their phones. They suck. You can't get them further away than like a mile from the interstate. With Patriot Mobile, you don't have to worry about that. They are nationwide, rural areas, suburban areas, exurban areas, urban areas. Patriot Mobile not only can get you cell service, they can get you data service, and they can save you money. And they help advance the conservative cause because they are openly Christian and conservative. What you do is you go to patriotmobile.com/Eric, patriotmobile.com/ERICK, and they can help you. Or you can call them if you want, 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Tell them Eric sent you. You get a free activation by using my name, patriotmobile.com/Eric. You know, this Gabby Petito, Brian Laundrie story continues. I guess it's not pronounced Landry. I think it's spelled Laundry. He has disappeared. They thought they found him on a trail cam. Turned out it wasn't him. TMZ is now reporting that it looks like he bought a burner phone. It was in an AT&T store on the day he disappeared and bought a burner phone. And what I find fascinating, actually, about the dynamics of the story are half the people out there are like, why are you even talking about it? And the other half are obsessed with it. And the obsession of people breaks down in a couple of ways. One are the people who are just totally into true crime stories. And there is a growing number of people in this country. True crime podcasts are skyrocketing up podcast charts as people cover true crime stories. But then the other half are people who followed Gabby Petito online and feel like they developed some sort of relationship with her and they want justice for her. And that is the angle I think that is least explored in all of this. So we live in postmodern times, and one of the hallmarks of postmodernity, it took me forever to understand this, it's emotion and relation. That's why in common vernacular now you hear people talk about I feel instead of I think. It's a sign of postmodernism. People are putting their emotions ahead of their rational thinking. But also people talk about their truth. One of the signs of postmodernity is that we all have our own truth, that there's no objective reality, no objective truth. It's my truth and your truth. And who do people go to shape their truth? Well, people they build a relationship with, have an emotional connection to, and those tend to be now social media influencers. I mean, you don't go watch Fox News anymore. You go watch Tucker Carlson. You don't listen to your local radio station. You listen to me or someone else. and you go to social media and you're not on Instagram per se, you're following Gabby Petito. And you develop these relationships with people, and so you, if something happens to them, you become obsessed. The number of people who think they're my friend because they listen to me on radio always surprises me. But it's this level of relationalism, and we're going to have more of these sorts of situations, I think. Not less of them. It's not missing white girl syndrome, as the media would have you believe. It's postmodernity on the internet.